Welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia, and today Agata's not here. That's normally where she says, I'm Agata, you know. But sadly, Agata has broken her foot, and so she needed to take a little time off, and so we hope she gets well soon. But as always, our wonderful producer, Gabe, is here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Normally we get mad if you talk and you know, punish you after the episode, but this episode you're allowed to talk as much as you like.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear what I say.
And we also have an extra special returning guest. She's a writer for the Underground Railroad on Amazon Prime. It's Adrienne Rush.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be back.
Oh, we're so excited to have you back. It's been quite a while.
It has been a while. A lot has happened.
What? Nothing's happened.
Everything and nothing has happened since I've last been here.
How have you been?
All right. Yeah. Had a okay pandemic.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. As best as you can expect, you know, from a pandemic.
Right. We're still here. So still taking it through.
Still around and employed. Come on. What else can you ask for?
Seriously. I'll take it.
Yeah. We're so excited to have you back. Also, I wanted to ask because, you know, last time you were on, we talked a lot about the local league of women's basketball here in Los Angeles. Has that bounced back after the pandemic?
I don't fully know. I mean, the league that I play in, as far as I know, is not back. So our team and the league that our team is in has been down since before April 2020. Mm-hmm. And in terms of my particular team, the Lisas, I don't know what will happen. We've had a handful of pandemic babies being born, which is very exciting, but also means that we now have several new moms, and moms with one kid now have more than one kid. And so in terms of that squad coming back together, I guess only the future will tell. But the league overall, I have absolutely no idea what's going on with it. I know it's very sad. I'm hopeful that maybe some like outdoors sort of pickup leagues maybe
might
sort of find their way into existence. But we'll see.
Yeah. And you can also get those babies some jerseys and get them on the court.
That's true. Never too early to start training the new generation. Never, ever.
Bring it there on the team by birth.
Yes, exactly. Grandfathered in.
Yeah, I have noticed some people who I follow on social media who have kind of just started doing pickup games again. So I feel like everyone is just barely like, is this okay? Nervously coming out of our caves, you know?
Yeah, I played pickup at an outdoor court. Blumenfeld had recommended to me, and it was very intimidating. There were lots of like full court, all men's games going on, but a couple of friends and I took over like one half court and were playing. And it was just terrifying how fast you just lose everything, all coordination, all memory of what a jump shot is and how your body is supposed to execute that. And then also just like my lungs.
Oh my God, I can only imagine.
I felt so old so quickly, but it was also just, I literally hadn't touched a basketball. I had to go to a sporting goods store and buy a basketball. I couldn't find mine. I couldn't find like any of the things that you need to go and play pickup. So I bought a fresh brand new basketball. And then it was just, it was very fun, but awful. There's so much rust.
I mean, I get that.
I bought a basketball during pandemic also.
Have you been hooping?
a little bit. Andrea and I will go to the park, and first we tried to play horse, but realized neither of us knew the rules. And then
there's only one rule.
We didn't know the rules of like who goes, like what the order of who goes is. I don't know.
There's probably different ways of picking that, right?
There probably are.
You both make a shot and see who makes it, and then whoever makes it goes first or something.
So then we just invented a co-op game where you just have to, we're both trying to get as many points as possible, but you just have to shoot from wherever you get the ball when you rebound it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. You could really, if you wanted to, screw over the other person, I guess. You could really just like clang it off the rim as hard as you can.
Yeah.
So that they're heaving up.
Adrian, your competitive nature comes out no matter what.
Yeah.
Or you could just have fun. And yeah, wherever you grab the ball.
Yeah.
I have a basketball that I would do just like shoot around. I've literally never played an actual game before and probably couldn't. But me and my friend would go shoot around before the pandemic. And then during the pandemic, I was like, oh, well, I could do just some like little dribbling things in my garden or even in my house. You know, I could. But then I grabbed my ball and it was like slightly deflated and I couldn't find, I know I have a little needle to pump it up. I couldn't find it. And then I just gave up and felt defeated.
Oh, you were slightly deflated.
I was slightly deflated. It's true.
Oh,
and
man.
I got to get back to shooting around.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I feel like finally the bars across all of the hoops in the city are coming down.
Yeah. I keep seeing that.
Yeah. That was such a, that was just so emblematic, like driving around the city and seeing, even when things were starting to open back up and then seeing empty courts with the hoops literally like chained off. I was God, this
so
is
so sad.
Yeah, really sad.
It's interesting too, because, you know, in the beginning of the pandemic, I understand why they did that because we didn't really understand how it worked and no one had masks and it was all very scary. So they were like, let's just limit anywhere that people congregate. Mm-hmm. But towards the end of the pandemic, I almost feel like it was silly that they kept them locked up because everyone needed outdoor spaces, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And being able to go, you know, if you're a family or even if you're a group of friends who don't live together, but maybe you're masked up or maybe you're just, you know, playing from a distance and not playing a full game or something, like it would have been nice to let people shoot around.
Totally. I agree. Yeah.
And like parks were open, people were hiking. Why not? Like it felt aggressive that they had kept the basketball hoops closed. Like why?
Yes.
Why that?
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I had one friend say something about how basketball in particular, because everyone is like touching the same ball, that potentially it's more dangerous. But I also was like, I don't know. I feel like it's been a year since we learned that that's not really the dangerous element of transmission with this particular virus.
Yeah.
Like if we were still like wiping down our groceries and doing that, then I could understand being like, let's not all share the same ball. But a year later, masked up, I think.
It could have been okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All that anti-basketball sentiment. The evil scourge of America. But yeah, I'm glad pickup games are happening again and stuff.
Me too.
And how were you at keeping up with the leagues and just watching basketball?
I kept up with the NBA pretty decently. I enjoyed a lot about the bubble.
Yeah,
I think the NBA handled that about as well as could be. And this past season, the playoffs were incredible, super exciting.
Yeah,
it was really, really good series. Yeah. And I can't believe I was watching the game three playoffs today in the WNBA, and they showed the advert of the NBA coming back October 20th. And I had two thoughts immediately, one after the other, which was, I can't believe it's October already of this year. And then also the NBA is back. Like, how is that possible?
It just ended. It just
ended. I think because the bubble pushed into last season, and then, yeah, it all feels like a lot. And I love basketball. And I'm mostly excited that it's back, but it also feels kind of insane that, that we're there again already.
Right. And especially thinking that like a lot of the players went to the Olympics as well. So it was like a extra crammed, you know, season or year.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of the players in the NBA who did play in the off season, you know, went straight from playoff games to Japan to play in the Olympics and then back here for training camp, like almost, I mean, there's like almost no time off, which is,
I know, I'm thinking wild. Of like Devin Booker, like Drew Holiday, like a few of those players who played all the way through into the finals and then Tokyo and now are back in training camp. It's kind of insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron will be fine, but what other players are dropping like $1 million per off season on like the maintenance of their body? Although I guess Devin Booker is what, like, he's still like a child. What is he, like 23 or something?
Yeah. How old is he? He is very young.
Yeah.
24.
Okay. Yeah. So those legs can take that. I don't know if anyone else's can.
Yeah. Like Chris Paul might be.
Yeah.
Taking it easy at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
Yeah. But, hopefully everyone really did take care of themselves in the off season, because, you know, heaven forbid we have more injuries, because it feels like last NBA season, it was just like riddled with injuries, you know, on top of the COVID protocol. But
yeah,
hoping it's a healthy season.
I hope so, too. I mean, it kind of feels like an inevitability just with this schedule. Like it feels like we're still sort of riding the wave of the bubble and sort of cramming all of those timelines together. And I know I'm kind of scared for that too. I hope that players are, it's kind of tricky, right? Cause as a fan, you know, you don't love sort of the load management when, you know, it's a game or a player that you're particularly invested in. But overall, for sort of the health of the league, I really hope that the players are given leeway to just take care of themselves.
Yeah. I feel the same way. Just let them do it this season, you know, like
right.
Get strict on that next season. But this season, let's be chill about it, because it just really has been go, go, go. And I think
the season is so long, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, once that starts, it feels like I want to check out for like the first month or so, just because the rest of it is going to be so long.
Yeah. We're going to be in it for a while. You're saying our season is long, right, Gabe?
Yeah, our season is long.
We're tired already.
Yeah, we're already tired.
We already have one injury. We can't sustain anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's true. A third of the Dunktown team down for the count. Well, she's just recovering.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
Yeah, okay.
And she'll be fine.
She's on the sidelines out of uniform, but she's cheering us on.
Yeah. Yes.
She's getting treatment.
Yeah.
On the foot.
She's in that cryo chamber every day.
Yes.
That would be amazing if her little apartment had like a little cryo chamber in it.
I am a little bit worried for the, and when I say worried, I mean it's the Lakers, so I don't care very much, but I am very intrigued to see how the overall age of that team is going to play out this season.
The right. Old man Lakers.
Yes. I love all of like the graphics where they're just doing nothing but adding up all of like, you know, their games of playoff experience or like their collective awards or whatever. And I'm just like, that is not going to be the ultimate factor this season. The ultimate factor is that their like average age is like 52. Like, what is going to happen this year?
Yeah.
They're like the Space Cowboys from the film of that name.
Yeah. Or the weren't there two movies? There's one called like Old Dogs and one called Wild Hogs, but it's the same premise. It's like old men on motorcycles.
Yeah.
I haven't seen either, but now I want to see both.
We'll do a double feature.
I really want a double feature, yeah.
But the moral of all those movies is that you can't underestimate them just because they're older. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what those movies are about.
Yeah. That is true. And of everyone on that team, I would never underestimate Bron or Russell Westbrook, frankly.
Right.
Everyone else on that team, I feel very comfortable underestimating. but not Russ or Bron.
I can't remember who it was who made this joke, but someone made a joke on Twitter, and I'll find it and try and link it in our show notes, that in the off season, the Lakers took a vacation on the beach from the movie Old.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I loved it. And it's true. They got old. But, you know, it's going to be fun, I think. I'm also not like a big Lakers fan, but I think it's going to be fun to watch them play together.
Super fun.
Yeah.
I am very excited.
Yeah, I feel like Carmelo had a surprisingly good year last year, so he could still do well. I don't know.
Also, they're friends. It's like the friends on the team for the first time together.
It's going to be cute.
Yeah.
As someone who's distinctly not a Lakers fan, it's going to be real cute.
Who else are you excited about? Or like, what are some teams that you're like really into watching? And maybe even rooting for?
Well, I always kind of deep down root for the Wizards because they were my hometown team growing up. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved out here, sort of coincided when they were really scraping the bottom of the barrel. So they made it pretty easy to decide to choose an LA team. And I went with the Clippers. So I'm excited to see the Clippers play this season. Who knows when Kawhi will be back. But I'm excited for, you know, Terrence Mann's evolution. And just to see what Lou does with another year under his belt with this team. The Wizards should be interesting. Again, they made a couple of off-season trades that, you never know how they'll pan out because it's the Wizards after all. But somehow Bradley Beal is still there. I really, really love that he has so much loyalty for a team that...
Oh my God, yeah.
Frankly, just... has never deserved it. But you know, I really like that about him. I admire that about him a lot. It almost makes me overlook his reticence about the vaccine, but that's another conversation.
Love Beal, but it's that I was like, oh no.
I know, it's just not great. And I also just, sorry, maybe this has been said before on this podcast, but like, the ease and speed with which all of these men have co-opted the like my body, my choice language about this vaccine makes me want to just like put my face through the wall. Like, it's so fucking infuriating that they're all like every single one of them down to even like Bron when he was asked directly about it a few days ago. And they're like, well, it's, you know, it's a private family decision. And it's like, no, it's not.
Yeah,
it's not. But anyway,
I agree 100%, by the way.
Always curious to see, my last thought on that is just, I know there was like an article, I think it was ESPN that came out with this a couple of days ago, but I hadn't really thought through sort of I know it's only a handful of players because they're upwards of like 90% for their vaccination rate league wide, but it's only a handful of players that are holding out. And this article was sort of written from the perspective of all of like the staffers and the coaches.
Oh yeah.
And I hadn't quite like connected those dots for myself, and they understandably are really upset and angry because they're like, it's required of us. But these players get to, because it's such a non-starter for the player association, it'll never be mandatory. So the few holdout players get to put like my family and my kids at risk. I already sort of had like a no tolerance personal policy in terms of how I view all of this anyway, but that perspective was really, I think, a valuable one, and one that I wish some of those holdout players took into account.
Right.
Teams, let's see. Yeah. So always curious to see what the Wizards are going to be up to.
Yeah.
It's a grab bag every season. I don't know. I think the East in general is going to be really exciting because they somehow just got deeper. Like right. Almost all the teams just sort of reloaded. And then the teams that were in sort of like the middle to bottom third, like they all retooled and got stronger. So as a conference, they are just like the parity is there.
It got shaken up essentially in the East. And
yeah,
I'm really curious about the Bulls. I'm like, they yes. already were fun last year, but now I'm like, whoa. They stacked up some veterans and they have really exciting young players. I totally agree. Yeah.
I think they're going to be so much fun to watch. The fact that they added, I'm kind of like a closeted Lonzo fan. I think he is really good and only getting better.
Yeah.
And I think he's taken a lot of shit. In his relatively short career. But I think he was such a good pickup. And I think like the fact that Zach won't have to have the ball in his hands all the time
yes.
and won't have to run the offense exclusively through him, I think will be huge.
DeMar DeRozan had a great season last year. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he vibes with this team of young fellas.
Yes. Yes. I completely agree. I think they're going to be really dangerous. They're looking super fun. The fact that Miami landed Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
And getting to pair Lowry with Jimmy, like that's going to be super fun. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited for the season because I think that, you know, the strong teams from last year mostly stayed the same. And then by and large, everyone else, you know, either shook it up or objectively got stronger.
Yeah, I agree. It's so funny because I think, you know, just because we're on the West Coast, we tend to favor watching West Coast teams play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of that might be because the East Coast games start earlier and we're still working. But it's like, I'm really, really going to try to catch a bunch of Eastern Conference games this season, especially for those teams where it's like, I don't know how it's going to be. It's really like a grab bag of like, this could be great. This could be, you know, a huge mess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm still fascinated to see what's going to end up with the Sixers.
Oh, right.
I mean, I can't watching this implode like in real time. It has been kind of astounding. I didn't think that they were going to mishandle the Ben Simmons situation like this, but now you have Embiid out there publicly just like airing all their laundry. Like, what was it he just said like a few days ago where he was like, this team has always been built around his needs, and he was like, we should never have gotten rid of Jimmy, but we did that for him. Like, he's just letting it all hang out, which I kind of love.
Embiid's kind of a drama queen in that way.
he definitely is. Yeah.
We have that clip for our next segment if you do want to just start talking some news.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's get into the news actually. So much happens in a week, we can't possibly cover it all, which is why we wrap it up in a little segment called Previously on Basketball.
Previously on this basketball documentary program, or whatever the fuck this is supposed to
be. What was that?
That was from this week's What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh.
They said previously on this film documentary or whatever the fuck it's supposed to be.
Oh my god!
If I see a previously on, you know I'm gonna grab it.
You got Gabe's like a hawk for a previously on or a great group of guys.
Yeah, either of those things.
That was a good one. I liked that one.
Thank you.
I'm not caught up, but I've enjoyed the season of What We Do in the Shadows so far. And
me
I know
too.
you're all caught up though, right, Gabe?
Yeah, we watch it on Saturday morning. It's a ritual for us.
Oh, fun.
Just like cartoons.
That's really sweet.
I love that. All right, whoosh me in. Connecticut Sun star Jonquel Jones is the 2021 WNBA MVP. Connecticut Sun coach Kurt Miller wins Coach of the Year. The 76ers are withholding Ben Simmons' pay after he fails to show up for training camp. Nikola Jokic is the father of a new baby daughter. Gabe?
Onyena? I don't know.
Onyena?
I don't know.
We'll figure it out. But it means made of fire.
Oh.
Diana Taurasi hits 8 3-pointers and scores 37 points in blockbuster game 2 performance. Chris Paul buys 500 tickets to give away for game 3 of the WNBA semifinals between the Mercury and the Aces. Some NBA players have opinions about vaccines. So, Gabe pulled some pro-vax comments from Lonnie Walker and some other players that we should...
I didn't want to watch clips of anti-vax people. I just didn't feel like it.
I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah.
They already have had such a huge platform. Everyone's asking them questions about it. Let's hear from the people who were, you know, pro getting the vaccine.
Yeah, so here's a clip from Lonnie Walker.
TikTok, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, leave it alone. If you want your real information, get it from, you know, a family physician or someone that knows, you know, that dynamic of the game. All I'm worried about is myself and my teammates at the end of the day. I could care less about what any other player on any other team has to say or think.
Aw, Lonnie.
Wait, so I can't even really fully follow. He was somehow, like, walking this middle ground of not saying much at all. Is he pro?
He is essentially all of the Spurs are vaccinated. They're
amazing.
The team is 100% vaccinated, and he was saying too many people are getting their information from the internet and not from their family physician. It's like, if you're worried about what the vaccine's going to do to you, talk to your family doctor. I mean,
okay, yes. Yes, Lonnie. Sorry, I did not fully follow that clip, but I'm very glad that he was saying that. And also, I miss his hair very much, but he's looking super cute without it. So
Yeah. He looks great.
Yeah.
He's just an all-time cutie. Everything he's talked about, I mean, he's talked about a lot of mental health issues and trauma, and like, he also just seems like such a nice teammate. So,
man,
good job, Lonnie.
He's gonna be appearing on some all hunk ballots this year.
Oh, for sure.
Sure. Yeah.
100%. What else do you got, Gabe?
So Bogdan Bogdanovich. I mean, he didn't come up with this himself, but he shared this meme on his social media.
It says vaccine research, and there's a scientist in a lab, anti-vax research, and it's a lady on a toilet on her phone.
Very funny.
Love it.
And it looks like he captioned it, but it was covered up by the COVID-19 information center.
Yeah,
you gotta watch out for that.
You gotta format your Instagram stories around that little disclaimer they put on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to know what his personal caption to that was.
It started with an H, so my guess is ha 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 ha.
Good guess.
and then Robin Lopez was given an interview, and he had something kind of funny to say.
I'm still not sure the Milwaukee's actually won the championship. I wasn't there. I didn't watch the game myself. So I'm going to do my own research and figure out if they won it.
Amazing.
Oh, Robin.
His voice is so funny to me. It's so from the throat.
It is. He's got kind of like a scratchy, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little Kermit-y.
I hope he ends up as a Disney voice actor someday.
Mm.
Like, ooh, what a treat that would be to give the Lopez brothers a chance to be in Disney lore, you know?
And I feel like they would smash it too.
Yeah.
It would be so good, both of them. Also, I'm like very embarrassed that I didn't know until watching that clip that he is no longer a member of the Washington Wizards. And I'm very sad. When did he get dumped to Orlando?
I think it was just during the off season, right? When all the trading was happening. So, don't be embarrassed, because so much swapping was happening.
Mm-hmm. Sure, lots of swaps.
It's gonna take me a minute to remember like what teams all these guys are on. Especially like Lowry, I feel like it's hard not to think of him as a Raptor, you know?
I know. It's gonna be sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what Toronto is even gonna be like without their captain.
Yeah. That's a team that'll be interesting to watch.
I think it'll be fun to see Kyle Kuzma as a Wizard.
Yes. Yes. It'll be something.
He's out of his like Hollywood sphere, yeah, which is interesting too.
I know. I was trying to think about that. I was like, all right, away from the glitz and glamour of LA, what does Kuz have? And there's not much. DC offers him either like Smithsonian or just like really good food. Cause DC, I feel like, is kind of like under the radar, like foodie. There's a real like foodie culture there.
Yeah.
And I would kind of love that. I would love if Kuz got just like really, really into the fine dining of DC.
That would be cool. He became friends with all these chefs and like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Reviews by Kuz.
I just hope he doesn't get mixed up with any lobbyists. That's bad news.
Oh no. He's like on Capitol Hill hanging out.
What would be his cause, Gabe? What would be like the one thing that Kuz decides to just really put his foot down on?
Oh no. I feel like it would be something I wouldn't like.
No, I bet it's like no white after Labor Day. Something fashion related.
Fashion related. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Mock turtlenecks only. No true turtlenecks.
Trying to get that legislated. Yeah. Yeah.
Working for the mock turtle lobby. But yeah, I it'll be interesting to see what he does. I know people bag on Kuz quite a bit, but I think he's a good boy and he'll find his place.
He seems like a sweetie, honestly.
Let's go ahead and look at those comments from Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
It is surprising, but I'm really focused on the guys that are here. The situation is weird, disappointing, borderline kind of disrespectful to all the guys that are out here.
Borderline disrespectful to the guys that are out here.
I heard no lies.
Yeah. I mean, he's right. I understand Ben wanting to leave because he clearly is having a hard time. It's clearly not a good fit. And, you know, probably both the Sixers and Ben will do better apart. But
yes,
it's hard to respect players who do the forced trade thing. You know, it's a bummer.
Yeah. It is. And I also feel like if you're going to try to force your way into a trade, there has to be a better way than just literally like straight up turning your phone off for like 4 months or whatever. And just refusing to engage with any contact with anyone related to the franchise that is paying you hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, there's got to be another way. I don't know. I love that Doc is still trying to like hold strong to his bottom line of like, no, we're going to find a way to work Ben in. And it's like, oh no, Doc, let it go. Give it up.
His poor little hopes and dreams are going to be dashed very soon, if not already.
I know. I still feel like there's a trade out there that makes sense for all parties involved. I mean, maybe it's gotten, you know, it's just like gotten so awkward now that it's tough because his trade value is plummeting the longer he holds on. And so I know that Sixers don't want to give in and just take sort of like, you know, whatever comes their way for him. But I really feel like there are teams out there that can offer a package that really makes the Sixers better. And then also, you know, gets them something back for Ben. But.
Right. I've been seeing a lot of people talking about the Kings, which I think is interesting because the Kings do have a lot of really good players who are just kind of wasted on the Kings. But then, you know, I think Ben would probably be in the same situation. I don't think he's going to grow on the Kings, but
a lot of lobbyists there in Sacramento, too.
He's going to get involved with a bunch of California lobbies.
I wonder what he even needs, though. What do you guys think he needs to sort of like get his head right?
I mean, I think he needs therapy, honestly. Like I've said it before, but I know, you know, he might be in therapy personally, but I feel like he needs a sports therapist. Like, because what it feels like to me, you watch him in the off season when he posts his like, or like other people will post videos of him in training, and he's shooting the basketball.
Yeah.
So what's stopping him from doing that on the court? I think it's like, it's such a psychological thing, because it's not even that he's shooting and missing. It's that he is not shooting. He's not even trying to shoot.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think he needs therapy as well.
Or a coach, you know, maybe he needs a coach kind of like Pop, or someone who is known to be a real player's coach.
Mm-hmm.
And can do some sort of, I almost said mental manipulation, but that's not exactly what I want. I mean, like, work with him mentally, like work with his state of mind rather than just his physical accomplishments.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I remember hearing early on that the Spurs actually like got in on early trade discussions. And it seems like that kind of fell apart, which I think is a bummer for everyone involved. Maybe it was just that like the Spurs were not willing to budge at all on like the sort of key pieces necessary to make that trade happen. But that one kind of makes sense to me, especially for the reason that you just listed. I think that Pop's one of the few coaches out there that could really get him on the right track.
Yeah.
Which I would love to see. I remember when he first came out of college, like everyone was so excited about his skill set. I can't remember the last time I've seen like a point forward with that kind of like court vision and athleticism and just like the upside, like just pure upside. And now it seems like he's just slammed into the ceiling, which is almost entirely psychological, and it's really painful to watch.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, you know, he's still got it in him, you know. It's mm-hmm. just got to be pulled out by someone.
Mm. Yeah.
But I also think the Sixers are probably unrealistic in what they're asking for him, which is probably why that Spurs trade, you know, might have fallen apart.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's kind of on them. Like, they signed the guy to a max, and then a season later are demanding a king's ransom for him. And it's like, well... Yeah, I'm very curious to see how that shakes out. I feel like it would be a disaster for everyone involved if they start the season with him still holding out. But that looks kind of likely at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's look at this tweet that shows Diana Taurasi's stats in contested shots versus open shots in game two. She got 19 points when contested and 9 when open, which is wild.
She is just unreal. She is absolutely unreal.
Oh, man. And Chris.
That's disgusting.
Chris Wozniak tweeted this and said, "You should simply not guard Diana Taurasi. The math checks out," which is pretty funny. But yeah. And, you know, in the first game, she did play, but only a little bit in the first game, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the second game, she just went off and ended up getting 37 points.
Yeah.
Which is a playoff, you know, high for her. It's wild.
That whole Mercury squad is playing unbelievable basketball right now. I just watched them demolish the Aces in game three, which is just, I mean, I probably, of all of the teams in the WNBA, I watched the Aces the most during the regular season, and they were just like a well-oiled machine all season long. And I don't fully know what's going on. They just look totally out of sorts. But I think that'll come down to 5 games, and I think it'll be, or I hope it'll be a close game 5. But the Aces have to figure something out. Watching, I mean, I think it starts with Asia Wilson, but like, she was just, I don't know what was going on with her today. I don't know if you guys watched the game, but I kind of checked out like in the, either late in the third, early in the fourth, it was like a 20 something point lead for Phoenix. And she was like 2 of 13 from the field and just was missing wide open shots. Yeah. And I don't know what was going on.
So as of recording, we just watched game 3 for both Connecticut and Chicago. Chicago is up 2-1. And then the Aces versus Mercury, where Mercury are up 2-1. And it's so funny because everybody was like, Aces, they're just going to take this. It's going to be like, they're done in four. You know, like people were predicting that this would be a very easy series for them.
Same with the Sun.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because those are the 1 and 2 seed, right?
Yep. Yeah. And the two of them just really dominated in the regular season. So these two series right now are not only closer than anyone thought, but are also like straight up huge upsets looming.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with, and this might be true for the Mercury as well, I'm not sure, but with the Sky, it does seem like they had so many injuries early in the season, and then they went to the Olympics. And you know, a bunch of their players were just tired, you know, and like probably the same with the Mercury. Like they had two of their starters, went to the Olympics, and after the Olympics, they went on a winning streak. But before that, it did seem like their head wasn't there, you know, on the Mercury. So I feel like now, in the playoffs, both the Sky and the Mercury are just like, they're like juiced up. They're ready to go.
I know. It's been really fun, especially with Chicago. I just feel like they're clicking like now for the first time in the season. Like they're just really, really gelling, especially offensively. They're so much fun to watch. Yeah. And I've been really happy to see Courtney Vandersloot having the series that she's having so far. And I was very bummed to see Candace Parker leave the Sparks, but going home to play for Chicago, and being the recipient of Vandersloot's, just amazing passing always season in and season out, but this season especially has been that alchemy is just like a lot of fun to watch. And I feel like it's coming together right now, which is the most perfect timing for them, and also the worst timing possible for the Sun,
right?
Who've just been kind of cruising, and now I don't think anyone predicted them being down in this series. But
Jonquel Jones MVP on the Sun, and she was like, she had such a good season. I mean, she was looking so amazing. And then in the playoffs, I think it has been. I think I heard that both her and Alyssa Thomas are still battling injuries as well.
Mm.
So it could be that.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have to believe that both of the higher ranked teams are going to regroup and make adjustments and come back in these respective game fours, ready to go, especially the Aces. They seemed like in that last quarter or two of game three, even though like, obviously they weren't going to put a run together to come back and take the game. They started playing with some real frustration, which I'm not necessarily like a particular fan of either team, but as I really want to see Asia Wilson get a ring. Cause I think she's incredible and I would love to see her sort of add that to her resume. And they started to play with that frustration of a team that knows they're just like absolutely not playing the way that they should. So hopefully that they can sort of carry that anger and turn it into a fire in game four. And I think both the Sun and the Aces are going to come back really, really strong in games four and five. So I think we're going to, I mean, the Chicago and Sun series has already been incredibly close.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All those games have been really,
really
close.
Those finishes have just been unreal. Yeah.
They've been so fun to watch. I mean, honestly, if anyone out there is not watching that series, it's like thrilling. There was one moment which I felt so bad for. Who was it? Was it Brianne January? Who the Sun got a steal from the Sky.
Yeah.
The game is so close. It's at the end of the fourth quarter. They toss it across the court to Brianne January. I'm pretty sure that's who it was. And she does this like really awkward over behind the back layup that just goes over the
missed rim entirely.
And it's like, she didn't have to do that. There were defenders on her heels, but it's like, she really didn't have to do that. She could have taken an easier layup. Mm-hmm. And she looked so mad at herself. But it's funny because I don't have any skin in that game. Like, both teams seem great, and I would be excited to watch either the Sun or the Sky win. Which, by the way, let's talk about the Sun versus the Sky. An appropriate matchup. But when I saw that, it hurt me. Like, it hurt so badly. And I was like, I don't even care who wins, but this is like so exciting to watch, you know?
I know. I felt similarly in that moment. Like, I mean, I'll never ever know what it feels like to have like so much pressure building that then in a moment where you just need the mechanics of your body to just like do what you've drilled into it, and it just doesn't, and it just kind of like short circuits for a second. Like, I can't imagine what that feels like.
For real.
Yeah. I did watch that replay like 9 times because I just was like, I don't understand what's happening here. How is this possible?
For the Sky, I feel like Kalia Copper has been such a standout, and she's been making all those fancy like reverse layups that January was trying to make in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, repeatedly.
She's been playing so well. It's been really, really fun to watch her play. Mm-hmm. And I just love that I feel like there are a lot of like post players in the league who I think kind of rely on their size and their touch around the basket. And I like that she can do that, but also can just like go up really, really strong. She'll have like 3 players hanging on her, and she'll just kind of like muscle her way to the basket. And I love watching that game.
And she is ridiculously fast. Like, there have been so many times where the Sky get the rebound and they lob it to Kalia, who's already almost across the court. This tweet is funny. It says Chicago gets the defensive rebound, and it's just like a dude like sprinting across a garage, and it says Kalia Copper. Yeah, I love watching her. If anyone is unfamiliar with her, really recommend going to Twitter and just searching for her name, and you will see so many cool highlights. Mm-hmm. She's really had a season.
She rules.
So, you know, this is coming out on Wednesday, which is when the next games are, right?
Oh, yes.
Today, Ryan Rucco was like, is it games 4 or game 4s? It's games 4, I think, is actually grammatically correct, Ryan.
Okay. games 4.
The games 4. Right, Gabe?
Is that what you think? Agree. I think it's games 4. It sounds stupid, but it's game 4 sounds wrong. So
it's like cul-de-sac. If there's plural cul-de-sac, it's cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
I think that is grammatically correct, but yeah, it sounds. I guess they both sound weird to me. I'm trying to decide which sounds less weird.
So there's 2 games 4 on Wednesday. So people should check that out because both, I mean, honestly, I can't wait to see what happens for both of them, but that Sky Sun series has been so fun.
Also, I'm writing an email to George R.R. Martin to tell him it should be called Games of Throne.
It should be Games of Throne because it's only one throne.
Yep.
Please go ahead and CC us on that.
Yeah. Game.
Okay, I will.
He's just in his castle in Santa Fe, or I'm pretty sure he lives in New Mexico somewhere. And he's just like, well, I never.
What's the travel splits with these 5 game series? So this is, so game 3 was in Phoenix.
So I think it goes.
Game 4 is also in Phoenix. And then it goes back to Vegas for
so because
game 5.
The Aces were the higher seed. It was Vegas, Vegas, Phoenix, Phoenix, Vegas.
Okay.
And okay, that makes sense. Same with the Sun and the Sky. Because the Sun were the higher seed, they were in Connecticut for 2 games first.
That's right.
And actually, one interesting thing that they mentioned on the broadcast is Phoenix, for all of the playoff games they've had so far at home, they've been kicked out of their home arena. And it was originally for the Ice Capades, which is I'm sorry. That's bullshit.
It's ridiculous.
I know, you know, Sarver, who owns that arena, is a jerk and super greedy and probably just wants that sweet, sweet Ice Capades money.
I think it was Disney on Ice, actually. Sorry to
Disney on Ice. No, please. I want to get it correct. I want to be mad at the right ice group, ice dancing group. But
gosh.
So the Suns were supposed to have a preseason game because they share an arena with the Mercury. Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to have a preseason game in their home arena, and it was going to kick the Mercury out again.
And I saw that. It was against the Lakers, right?
Yeah. And Chris Paul was in the crowd at today's Mercury game. And he was like, no, we decided we wanted to change that. So they're going to have an earlier game. The Suns are. And with the Lakers, and then it's going to be like a double bill, which I think is so fun. If anyone can go to both of those games, that would be really cool. But it'll be the Suns earlier in the day and then the Mercury in the evening. So
I love Chris Paul for doing that and for buying 500 tickets to the playoff game today to give away. I loved, I saw the interview too when he was in the crowd. It was him, Jay Crowder, and Book, I think, were all there. Yeah. And I loved their responses because they kept getting asked questions about, like, I don't know, they were just the most inane questions of, like, why is it important for you to be here to, like, support these women's accomplishments or whatever. And I just love how every time they were like, are you kidding? It's the playoffs. Like it's the fucking playoffs. Like they were here when we made the playoffs. They supported us every step of the way, and now we're just returning the favor, and it's the playoffs, which I really loved that was their response. But yeah, I mean, they're gonna have a great day too. Chris was like, yeah, we're gonna play the Lakers, and then we're probably gonna go get something to eat, and then we're just gonna like come right back here for game four,
which sounds so fun.
It does sound fun. Like a great day.
I want to hang out with them.
I know. I also really hope that Bron sticks around and that he goes to the game too.
Oh, right. That would be cool. Get some Lakers to stay too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, Russ is a huge supporter. Russell Westbrook is a huge supporter of the WNBA.
He is.
And so I feel like he'll probably be going to the game.
That would be so much fun if you had just like the Banana Boat crew, if you got Melo and Bron and Chris Paul to all just like be chilling, watch it. And that game four, I really think that game four is going to be, I hope it's going to be really, really fucking good. Cause I think the Aces will hopefully have figured out some shit and are going to come out. I mean, that's their season on the line.
Yeah.
Right. And you have all these like weird sort of statistical storylines playing out, which is that throughout the season, the Mercury somehow have been way better on the road than at home, which is so strange. But so it'll be an elimination game for the Aces playing at Phoenix, where the Mercury should be down, but they're coming off of a 20-something point blowout. Like, I think it's going to be a really, really good game. I think it's going to be chippy. I think these both teams have sort of had enough of each other at this point. Yes, I think it'll be fun.
In the game today, some of my favorite moments are Liz Cambage, notorious shit talker, and Diana Taurasi, probably the all-time shit talker, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they're both have these giant smiles on their faces, and they're just like going back and forth talking shit. And I wish I could read their lips because I'm sure it was amazing what they were saying, but you could see it on their faces. They're just like, I'm doing what I do best right now.
Yes. I feel like Cambage needs to, there's a lot more she could be doing to back up talk. I'll just say that the Aces got absolutely demolished on the glass in the game today, which I think is frankly really embarrassing. The only player 6'8" out on the court should not be shit talking anyone when her team is, I think they were out rebounded by like more than a 20 rebound differential or something like that. It was absolutely insane.
She should never be out rebounded.
No.
I mean, Brittany Griner is almost as tall as her, but still she should never be out rebounded.
Nope.
Well, I'm excited, and I hope the Banana Boat crew comes in on a banana boat. Glides onto the
side. Yes.
All right. So each week we highlight our favorite comments made by the members of our Cutie Nation Discord. It's the cutie comment of the week. Wow! Oh, wow, this time. Oh my God, I love it. This week's comment is from Gabriel, not producer Gabe.
Not me.
Gabriel.
It isn't me. It's another Gabriel.
Gabriel said, woke up early today to prep hosting first board game meetup in nearly 20 months. Mostly pulled the favies off the shelf. And it is like too many games.
It's for so one many games. Evening. He has this incredible games collection.
Wow.
I have not played or heard of any of these.
Mm-mm. I was about to say the same. I'm like desperately searching for one title I recognize. Can't do it.
But Everdell, Azul, Concordia,
Spirit Island,
Gloomhaven.
I really have never even heard of any of these. This is like, he's flexing on us with this hardcore gamer collection.
Yes, he is.
Viscounts.
Ooh, Viscounts. Just kidding. I don't know it. but I hope Gabriel had a fun game night.
It looks this fun. Looks I want to try all of them.
Yeah.
It does look fun. I want to know what his like gaming crew looks like.
Me too.
Like, I want a picture like around the table of like Gabriel and his closest friends working their way through that stack.
They have their arms crossed and they're like back to back. They're like, yeah, I would love to see it. If you want to be eligible for Cutie Comment of the Week, you have to join our Cutie Nation Discord. Sign up on our Patreon, patreon.com/Dunktown, not Discord, /Dunktown. All right, let's get into our mail basket. You got mail. Okay, today we have a voicemail.
Hi, this is Joe in Ohio. I am answering the call and describing my dog to you via phone, which I do think is the most effective way to do it. I'm looking at her right now, and boy, oh boy, is she just the sweetest. Her name is Darcy. She is, oh yes, hello. She's a black lab and retriever mix. Oh boy, this isn't even going well. Actually, I'm starting to panic about this whole situation, and I think I'm just going to get going. So, bye.
Joe.
Oh, Joe.
It was perfect.
It
honestly
was going well.
It was such a great start.
So, Adrian, a while back, we had mentioned dogs that have kind of human soulful eyes. And then that started a conversation about, because someone sent us a photo of their dog and we were like, yes, send us more photos of your dog. And I love that Joe was like, I'm going to leave you a voicemail about how cute my dog is.
That is incredibly adorable. Wait, okay. So he was the first person to do that.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm not sending in a photo. I am giving you
right.
a vocal description. Oh, and then he bailed.
I loved it, Joe. Darcy sounds adorable.
Mm-hmm. And Darcy sounds extremely cute.
It sounded like she immediately came up to you when you said her name. Which I love. So thank you, Joe and Darcy. And anyone else who wants to send us a voicemail, please do, because we love it, obviously.
Describe anything that you love to us.
Really?
We'll listen to it.
Describe your favorite meal and how it tastes.
Yeah, as you're eating it, just be like chomping away into the phone.
Anything that requires other senses other than audio,
yeah.
Please send us a voicemail about it.
Tell us how your bedroom smells.
Ew, no.
Sorry.
Unless it's good.
That sounded weird. You know. That sounded weird in retrospect, but I did mean it in a good way.
Yeah. Do you have lavender, you know, room spray? But yeah, give us a call, 903-420-DUNK. Easy to remember, easy to call us. You can also send us an email if you like. We love those too. hi@dunk.town. And, you know, tell us what you're excited about this coming season. For the NBA, or what you're excited about that's happening in the WNBA playoffs right now.
Which player are you most excited to see in their new uniform?
And to smell. And what do you think they smell like?
Right.
Adrian, thank you so much for doing the show with us.
Thanks for having me. This has been super fun.
Oh, it's so lovely to see your face again. It's been too long.
I know.
To
get a little distant coffee or something.
I would love that. Or we can go shoot around.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
I gotta pump up that ball.
You pump up your ball. I have a brand new ball that has seen the court once. So
nice.
We can go inaugurate it.
Love a fresh ball. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
No, not really. No, kind of just, working on some things, trying to get ready, I guess, for, oh my God, the next year.
I know it is crazy that it's October already and we're wrapping up 2021. It's weird that it's 2020 anything year wise.
I know. 2022 truly sounds like a year out of a sci-fi movie or novel, and we are pretty much there.
There has to be a sci-fi novel that takes place in 2022. I'm sure of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much again. And thank you to all of our cutie listeners for coming on this journey with us. Love you. Bye.
For more Dunktown content, check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/Dunktown. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. I am on Twitter at @echo_mint and on Instagram at @agatamonica. Anastasia is on both at @AnastasiaVigo. Check out our website, dunk.town. If you like the show, please write us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen. We always really appreciate those. We have t-shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Tomingus for the Dunktown design, and thank you to Andrew Bear for our original music for the show. Sources and references from this episode can be found in the episode description.